Hi.
You're with us for the morning show as we take a trip through Wisconsin radio history. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're going to explore the WPR archives and how this fragile material is being preserved. But first, let's draw our attention to our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. Hi there, Cheryl.
Hello, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. And we want to stress that you rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions. And we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
And that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that is why your gift of any amount right now, that's right, any amount, but do it now, makes an important difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 20 gifts this hour. We get there one at a time. This goal is very important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs you rely on.
And we will meet this goal one donation at a time. So let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, public radio has a unique funding model. It's a two-way street that creates a high-quality product. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back the programs that are accountable only to you.
It really is an amazing system, Kate. You get the programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. It works when you give. So please make your contribution for independent news, information, great conversations, music, everything you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's possible because of members. So please help pay for all the programs you enjoy. Help make the morning show possible here on Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, our world is a very complex place. You rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language so you know how things will affect you.
And for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, we rely on your financial support. It is the largest source of funding. And that's why we're here asking, if you've never given before, please make your first ever contribution of maybe $10 a month, $120 for the year, during this winter member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sean Carroll from Madison, Wisconsin. I think WPR is a really important news source because it's trusted and it's in-depth, and I think is going to give us the information that we need to have a dialogue in society about what's going on and what's important. And that's the reason I decided to support this type of radio station. It's going to give me the news sources that I trust.
Invest in your future listening with a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this winter member drive is so vital. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And whatever amount you give, giving to WPR is such an easy process. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Super easy. It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support now, it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we're off to a great start this hour. We are looking for 20 gifts by the end of the hour. We've already heard from six amazing members.
Nice.
Thank you so much. 14 to go. Won't you be the next member of Wisconsin Public Radio? And when you do, you make Wisconsin Public Radio possible with your gift of any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value and ask for your WPR stainless steel water bottle. Ask for yours with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, why not become one right now? It's so easy to set up those ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You're always in control. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll be providing reliable support for the programs you love, programs like The Morning Show.
Teresa in Madison, we heard from Teresa who says, I'm donating to support timely news with local coverage, and I love your support of small business owners. Teresa, thank you. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now, Wisconsin Public Radio has a long, proud tradition of being a leader in broadcasting, a century of service. We're digging into our vast archives to find out how very old interviews and programs are archived for posterity. When did you start listening to the radio? What does it mean to you? What questions do you have about archiving very old records and reel to reel? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to talk. Randall Davidson worked for Wisconsin Public Radio as a news anchor and producer from 1990 to 2008. He's the author of 9XM Talking, WHA Radio and the Wisconsin Idea. Randall, welcome back home.
Well, it's good to be with you this morning.
We also have Catherine Fawn, who is a digital and media archivist at UW-Madison's University Archives. Kat, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Kat, let's start with you. University Archives has in its inventory thousands of recordings from the early days of WPR. How were these broadcasts originally recorded? What do you have?
Well, the collection we're talking about is on a format called transcription discs, and it was a format that was used to record these broadcasts live. So you'd have, the radio studio performing whatever the program they're performing, and the discs were used to record those live. So we have thousands of these at the archives that cover the period roughly from early 30s through the 50s, and that covers the programming that WHA was putting out during that time period.
How do you actually handle these discs?
So they look like a giant LP. So It's what we call grooved media. So if someone looks at it, they might just think it's like a vinyl record, but it's actually made from a very different material. So they're really fragile. So they're about 16 inches in diameter. So you have to make sure you're supporting it properly when you're handling it, but also the material that it's made of is also very fragile. So you have to wear gloves and you have to make sure you're not, you're supporting the entire disc and you're not, putting your oils from your fingertips onto the materials. And then you do need special equipment to play it back, so it won't, play back on a regular record player that you might be able to buy in the store. So we actually have, we in the archives actually can't play back these discs, but we do have colleagues in the music library on campus that has set up a studio to handle playing back these large, very fragile discs. And fortunately, an audiovisual preservation librarian who has the expertise to know how to handle them as well.
Well, let's hear a clip from one of these programs, Aline Hazard's Homemakers program from 1947, dramatizing some tips on how to buy eggs.
Well, good morning, Mrs. Grayson.
Good morning. I'd like a dozen eggs, please.
All right. These do, ma'am?
What, those little eggs? Well, of course not. Don't you have any fresh ones?
Oh, but these are fresh. They're pullet eggs.
Pullet eggs? But don't you have any fresh eggs?
Oh, of course, ma'am. But maybe someone ought to tell you that a pullet is a young chicken, and so it lays smaller eggs.
Oh, Randall, what can you tell us about Aline Hazard's Homemakers program? She started hosting it in 1933.
Right. We'd had farm programming and homemaker programming. It had been the same show for, it was kind of over the noon hour. And in the early 30s, they split them into two, and they put the homemaker show in the morning. Aline Hazard was the host for a very, very long time. And then the farm show remained over the noon hour. They were later re-merged into each other in the 1970s, and the descendant is kind of Larry Mueller's program today.
That's so fascinating. And I also understand that when she auditioned for hosting the program, she got it, and then she was on the air the very next day.
They tend to push people on pretty fast in the early days. There was, and if you look at the industry, there wasn't that. There wasn't a pool of people that had broadcasting experience. So it was, and being a non-commercial station, they were more interested in what you knew than the fact that you might not have had broadcast experience prior to that. You were really hired for your expertise.
What did Aileen like to cover? What were some of her favorite topics?
Well, basically, she worked as the homemaker host and covered things like budgeting and sewing issues and menus for the home and cooking and things like that. She did early version of Garden Talk. She would go out and we had a shortwave transmitter. We could do remotes from area gardens.
Oh,
and,
wow.
She did that kind of thing. She also did a series of, a bit later in the 50s where she kind of visited different agricultural adjacent industries. Like she went to a place that was doing maple syrup and did remotes there. Those have been recorded then and then brought back to the station for playback later. But she was with us a very long time and set the stage for that kind of programming.
Kat, why do these recordings need to be digitized?
Well, the format itself is very fragile, as I mentioned before. So they, given their age and the material they're made out of, they are, everyday degrading. So that is one urgent reason that we need to pull the content off those formats and digitize them for access. And then, the other reason, as Randall is talking about, is the content that's on these recordings. So those are the two main reasons that we think about when, deciding what to preserve on these media formats is how urgent is it that how fast are these formats degrading? And then what is the value of the content? And, transcription discs, because of their use, generally contain unique material. And so that's the reason, why we if you have transcription discs in your collection, they're generally at the top of your list for preservation.
We're with UW-Madison digital and media archivist Kat Fawn and the unofficial historian of WPR, Randall Davidson, author of 9XM Talking. What questions do you have about digitally archiving audio? Have you listened to old audio records? What was it like to handle them? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead back in a minute here on the Ideas Network of the one and only Wisconsin Public Radio. If you're just joining us, it's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are on an audio-rich journey deep into Wisconsin radio history, learning about the work of archiving WHA material. But first, let's get an update on our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser, and we're here to say your gift right now is so vital. And that's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Your gift keeps the morning show and all the programs you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we are off to a great start this hour. We have 40 minutes left in the hour, and we are looking for 10 more people to join in. If you've already given, thank you so very much.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
And on the Ideas Network, you hear diverse viewpoints from different guests, and callers bring a unique perspective to the conversation as well. Because there is so much food for thought on these programs, you probably have found yourself starting conversations with, I heard on the morning show or yesterday on Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, if that is you, because that is you, it's time to take action. Participate in making this show happen with your support of any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Whether you've given before or you're making your first ever donation, signing up for ongoing monthly gifts is very easy.
And you can choose the amount that works for you, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It takes just a few minutes. And once it's set up, your support for the programs you value, like the morning show, your support is always current.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR water bottle when you give $20 a month or more.
I would definitely take it out hiking. It looks like it would fit in a backpack really well.
I think I would station my WPR water bottle somewhere nearby where I could see it, where it could be inspirational to keep me going through my at-home workout.
That's something I would drink water out of, maybe some tea, juice.
Ask for the new WPR water bottle when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. It's your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs that you rely on each day possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It takes just a few minutes to contribute.
And you'll have that good feeling of supporting the programs you love. See what that's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when 10 more people support Wisconsin Public Radio programs in the next 25, 35 minutes, we will meet our goal. And that's because WPR is listener powered. So your gift right now, it's very important. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
John in Viroqua says, I owe WPR because I listen every day and because the more accurate and unbiased than any other I can find. Wendy in Northfield says, I can rarely listen to favorite shows via an actual radio these days, so I greatly appreciate the WPR app. John and Wendy, thank you so much. Your gift right now, join John and Wendy at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. Now let's continue our trip through Wisconsin's radio history and the work of digitizing the audio of a century. And these WHA archives demonstrate how public radio became this tangible example of the Wisconsin idea at work. Do your grandparents have memories of listening to the Farm Hour or the Homemaker's Hour? As a child, you remember Let's Draw or Wisconsin School of the Air. What do you want to know about preserving audio? 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234 to join conversation. Randall Davidson is with us, worked for WPR as a news anchor and producer from 1990 to 2008. He's emeritus faculty of UW Oshkosh. Kat Fawn is a digital and media archivist at UW Madison's University Archives, and they stay with us. Kat, what are some of the other programming that the archives recently digitized? What are you working through?
Well, for the transcription disc, we focused because we just selected a very small portion of the collection. There are thousands of discs that we have, but we only had the resources to select a very small amount, about 250 discs. So we really did focus on the Homemakers program and the Farm program, knowing that that would be of interest to many people. But we also actually selected programs from the Wisconsin Yarns, which is another program that Robert Gard hosted, and it was a dramatization of Wisconsin folktales that the WHA players and Robert Gard wrote these scripts, and they dramatized them and played them over the radio. So that's another program that a lot of them have been digitized and put up online. And there's also a lot of 4-H content, which I believe is part of the Farm program as well, but that has been really popular.
This is kind of a technical question, Kat, but is one disc one program, or how do you delineate one program from the next?
Uh-huh. Good. That's a good question. Whether discs are two-sided,
as, okay.
You might imagine. So, you know, each side would be roughly 10 to 15 minutes. And sometimes sometimes that is an entire program. Sometimes it's only part of a program. So it really varies. So sometimes a program will, you know, have three sides of the disc for the entire program. And you can see that in the online collection, that there will be a part one, part two, part three, because it was recorded over three sides of discs.
Well, let's hear another clip. This is one from 1946 with George Briggs, a crop specialist at the UW.
The topic today on new ideas in weed control. And somewhere or other, as soon as the snow is off, it seems that all of us are looking for weeds. And sure enough, they come long before desirable vegetation comes.
Well, Randall, with our state's rural and agriculture economy, especially in those days, it seems that the farm program was just an absolute natural fit.
That was one of the things that kind of drove a lot of what we did in the radio. The radio station got started about the same time the university had really articulated the Wisconsin idea about how to get the value of the university out to everybody, not just the students on campus, but everybody. And farm programming really fit the bill there. In fact, the farm program, when it first debuted in the 20s, actually it was rebroadcast by the WTMJ in Milwaukee. A commercial station took it as well. And we had people that would bring their expertise from the university about, you know, farming techniques and mixing of feeds. There's a story I told Larry Mueller that he enjoyed a lot. In 1934, the farm show took the opportunity. The fact there was a real jump in pork prices in 1934, no one could figure out why, but they figured at the radio station, a lot of people are going to be butchering hogs who haven't done it before or haven't done it in a very long time. Hmm. We should butcher a hog on the air during the farm show.
Oh, goodness.
And so strung a line from the radio station out to the agricultural campus, and over the noon hour, they actually butchered a hog and described it on the air.
Wow.
You couldn't do that. You'd get calls today, probably.
I think there would be some calls. We only have a few seconds left before the news break, but, you know, is what Wisconsin Public Radio, was it WHA, was it, what was it doing in the 40s that was unique in the country?
Well, we had decided early on to really struggle to remain non-commercial. A lot of non-commercial stations in the 20s and 30s got sold off.
And we
wanted to stay non-commercial, and really us and WHA in Madison and WLBL in Stevens Point formed the backbone of what became the state network of FM stations, and that planning was starting in the 40s.
Randall Davidson, a former WPR employee, author of 9XM Talking, archivist Kat Fawn with UW-Madison's University Archives. Stay with us. News update is next. Thankfully not in Morse code, but proudly on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're with us for the morning show as we spend a very special hour learning about preserving Wisconsin's radio history. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're rummaging around, if you will, in the WPR archives, finding out how archivists handle this fragile material. But first, let's take a moment to discuss our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Kate.
And we are here to say that your gift right now is so important. That's because gifts from people like you are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. You keep the morning show. You keep all the shows you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening now. Right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, there's 25 minutes left in the hour, and we are looking for three more people to join in to meet our hourly goal. You can be one of those three people. You can make a difference with your gift. It's important right now that we hear from you, because when you give, you're supporting the programs you rely on every day, programs just like The Morning Show.
And thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, what a great conversation we're having this hour about the WPR archives. Randall and I, you know, Randall trained me on many things radio. Randall Davidson, it's so great to hear your voice on the radio again. And these connections and these stories are the kind of conversations that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio and especially here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And it's so easy, you know, to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine. Maybe it's a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Well, consider the news, the information, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Make a dollar a day, $30 a month. Maybe that's just the right amount for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
We've seen a recent increase in our childcare costs as my daughter is currently going to a preschool.
Yes, my newspaper subscription just went up.
If you've looked at my electric bill lately, it has gone up substantially.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We sure do. And you know, the day is young. You can make a difference before you've even left the house, maybe without even leaving the house. Yeah. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you'll have made a great start to your day and to ours.
Hour by hour, we have goals and we try to stay on track. We have just met our goal this hour. So this is so great as we, you know, try to stay on track here. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org. Continue this momentum. 888-202-2552.
We heard from Grant in Madison who says, I gave because I realized how often I turn to WPR to deliver fascinating, helpful programming. Thank you, Grant. And Tom in Prairie du Sac says, I trust WPR's integrity, honesty, and fairness. I appreciate all you are and all you offer. Wow.
Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Well, let's continue our look inside the WPR archives. Wisconsin Public Radio has this long, proud tradition of being a leader in broadcasting, more than a century of service. We're learning how these materials are being archived, saved for posterity on the UW-Madison campus. When did you start listening to the radio? What does it mean to you? What questions do you have about archiving your old records, your reel-to-reel? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We have digital and media archivist at UW-Madison's University Archives, Kat Fawn here, and former WPR host and producer Randall Davidson is also with us back home here at WPR. Kat, you know, I understand that Aldo Leopold, the legendary conservationist who died in 1948, that Aldo Leopold was on WPR sometimes. Do you have these recordings? Is this true? Does this exist?
Well, there is an elusive search for a recording of Aldo Leopold's voice. So many, many people have searched for a recording of him being on the radio and have not found anything yet.
So,
I won't rule it out completely because the descriptions of our collections maybe not complete. So sometimes a description of a program and a disk might just say like farm program or something very generic. So, you know, there is a tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny chance that that could contain something like a recording of Aldo Leopold. But many people have searched and have so far have come up empty handed. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Kat, how organized are these disks? You know, is everything pretty much in order? You know where you can find things and they're sequential?
They're not organized sequentially or chronologically. We do have an index to the collection, but like I said, sometimes those descriptions may be very generic and very general. So you can't really tell what the program is covering until you actually play back the disk. So like I said, something might just be labeled as the farm program, or something might just be labeled as Carl Schmidt, who was, you know, a voice on the radio for a very long time. So you don't actually know what the content covers until you actually are able to play it back.
Randall,
but that's the current description of the collection.
Yeah, Randall, what in these old broadcasts are you excited to hear, or what do you want to be unearthed?
Well, I'll pick up on the Aldo Leopold thing. I was one of the people that looked for that because everybody wants to find an Aldo Leopold recording. And he was on the person who was the farm host also hosted a version of the College of the Air. He was a soil scientist. And one semester he did a College of the Air series on soil science. And he had Aldo Leopold on. It was in the program guide. And the host was still alive at the time, Milton Bliss. He was the host from 1935 to 1950. And I tracked him down. He was living in Oconomowoc, and he was at the time the oldest UW-Madison student. He was 96, and he was still taking classes and coming in three times a week to take classes in Madison. And so I asked him, I said, you know, you had Aldo Leopold on. He said, yeah, if you say so. And I said, did you know if that might have been recorded? Because it was just at the point we got the first lathe recording device, the first disc recorder at Madison. And he says, you know, I was brand new then. He says, I was more intent on doing a good job than what they might have been recording in the next room, so I'm not sure. But that's one I'd like to would like to have heard. A lot of stuff has disappeared. I stumbled upon a memo in the archives that there was a company right after World War II was buying old transcription discs that you didn't want anymore, and they would pay cash for them to get the aluminum cores out of them just for scrap. And Harold McCarty, who was the boss at WHA back then, he asked for like 12 mailing labels. He had hundreds of discs to sell just for the scrap metal value to get some more cash for the station. And so a lot of stuff which might have been, you know, just incidental things were gone. I went through a collection at Historical in 2003 that was partly WHA's, and we repatriated a lot of that back to archives at that time. But, yeah, the Aldo Leopold stuff would be good. There's nothing from before 35 anyway, 1935. That's when we got the first disc recorders in Madison. So everything from 1917 up to 1935 is just exists in space now. It doesn't exist in a recorded form anywhere.
Randall, when does the transition take place to going to reel tape?
We would have probably started making the transition probably in the early 50s. By 1951, 52, we're members of the National Association of Educational Broadcasters, which was an early precursor of NPR. And they distributed programs on tape. And they also, we sent tapes to them for duplication so WHA programs could be heard in other parts of the country. Most famously, our series on the Dead Sea Scrolls was a very popular one that ran for many years. But the earliest tape recorder I personally know of was a model from 1953 that we still was knocking around the Milwaukee office when I was working there. John Paul at the Capitol had a recorder from 1959. That's not to say that discs weren't continued to be used. The newest disc I found when I was doing research was from 1959. They were still cutting transcription discs at that late date, even though tape recording had been around for more than a decade by that time.
Yeah. Kat, what is involved in the digitizing process? It is expensive, I understand. How does that work?
Well, for this first batch, we actually outsourced to a company to do it for us. And like I said, we do have expertise on campus now that we can do some digitization on a small scale. But you need the equipment, as I mentioned, and you need to know how to handle the physical material. But also there are decisions that the engineer would have to make. So basically you have to be able to get a clean playback of the disc, like just like you would be playing it back just to listen to. And there are decisions like what needle you need to use to get the proper playback, you know, what weight to put on the disc to get a very clean playback. Also, a lot of these discs need cleaning. You know, they're often acid deposits because of the breakdown of the material. So you need to clean it properly, again, to get a clean playback. So once you do all of these things just to prepare, then you play it and it's sort of real-time capture. You play it back and then you have to capture it in real time. So a 10-minute disc takes 10 minutes to play back and capture.
How much risk is involved that when you're going through this process that it won't be successful and that you will damage or lose the disc?
Yeah, you know, I mean, even in this first pilot, there were 3 discs that we weren't able to capture in the 250 disc selection. And that could be anything from the disc, you know, actually broke. So some, you know, most of our discs, as Randall mentioned, were on aluminum cores, but some of them, especially during the war, when the aluminum was diverted, were made on glass base cores. So sometimes those are just physically broken. Sometimes the material, it's called delamination, where it actually has broken down so much that it starts flaking and actually falls off the metal core. And sometimes it has so many of these deposits that you just can't clean it enough to get a proper playback. And that has happened as well too. And sometimes, you know, you can get a playback, but it's still, there's a lot of noise because again, you're capturing the live playback. And sometimes it's just, there's a lot of noise in the playback. So those are the things that have happened.
So many factors to really weigh in here as you figure out how to capture this digitally. Kat Fawn is an archivist with University Archives. Randall Davidson here as well, author of 9XM Talking, WHA Radio, and the Wisconsin Idea. We're learning about the work of digitizing these very old radio broadcasts from a century of WHA. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Randall, you're talking about some of these remote broadcasts. Let's hear another clip. This is Aline Hazard's show from 1946 when she toured the trailer camp set up by UW-Madison to house World War II veterans enrolled at the university. She visited the home of Mr. and Mrs. Robert Jeffers.
Well, you really have just about everything here.
We have everything we need in the kitchen except running water.
Well, I can see how you might miss that a little bit. Your stove is a 2-burner electric plate, right?
That's right, and we have an oven that sits on top of the plate for baking.
Wow, everything but running water. What did you hear there in this snippet, and what is going on with these remote broadcasts?
Well, we had a remote shortwave unit that was an early experimental unit that we used for distant broadcasts. But on campus, there were drops in a lot of the buildings where we could plug in, and there's lines through the steam tunnels under campus that went back to the radio station. That way back, even in the early 20s, we were doing things like that. And so if we could get nearby a campus building, we could probably string a line to the point where we could get a signal back to the radio station. Probably wasn't that far away. They might have been able to string a line just directly because the radio station was down in Radio Hall at that point. I believe some of the temporary housing was actually in the Library Mall area. If there was a nearby campus building, we could plug in there. Otherwise, you take a transcription recorder along and you record a disc on site. And that's the way people did it. A lot of early folklore recordings were made that way around the country with a big transcription recorder that was, you know, ostensibly portable, but was recorded on site with a blank transcription disc.
Randall, why is it so important to save these recordings?
Well, WHA is a real innovator in non-commercial broadcasting. And one of the complaints about broadcasting as an industry, it's such a drain pipe of effort. You have to constantly be thinking about the next day's show. Mm-hmm. You're constantly planning for the next day's show. And to have the presence of mind to save what you did yesterday is kind of rare. And thankfully, WHA has been helmed by a lot of pack rats over the years, a lot of people that wanted to keep everything. And so that I think, makes it kind of unique from that perspective. It is also a snapshot. It's a snapshot to freeze an era in time.
Yeah.
you get to get a sense of what was important to a radio listener in 1948 and a radio listener in 1960, and what we were doing on the air that kind of gave a sense of what might come in the future.
Yeah,
we were doing political broadcasts back in the 1930s, offering unrestricted time to airtime to candidates. Well, you do that now. That still goes on at WPR. So there's things looking into the future, but also very much a relic of the past.
Well, we have to go here, but Kat, very quickly, how do you want these digital archives to be used and accessed? What can they be used for?
But they can be accessed by anyone. So our goal is to put them online for anyone to listen to at any time, as long as you have internet access. But, you know, I hope that people will... There are so many reasons that people could just listen for their own edification or pleasure, but there are also a lot of research opportunities. Like as Randall mentioned, what you can get from listening to voices from that time period. So I think there's so many ways that people could listen and use this content in many different ways.
Thank you both for joining us. Kat Fawn is a digital and media archivist at UW-Madison's University Archives. Randall Davidson worked for WPR as a news anchor and producer for 18 years, author of 9XM Talking, and an emeritus faculty member at UW-Oshkosh. You can find a link to these vintage Wisconsin Public Radio programs at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser, and we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And Kate, we have just about 5 minutes left in the hour, and we have already heard from an incredible 37 members.
That's great.
Thank you so much for your support. Your gifts make the programs you rely on every day possible.
WPR programs, they're listener powered, and that means that your donation right now, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, this segment we just heard with Kat Fawn and Randall Davidson about digitizing and accessing the WPR archives. Kate, it was so fun to hear those old clips.
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah. Aileen Hazard. It just takes you back. I wasn't even there, but it took me back. It was amazing. It's the power of radio. And these are the kind of conversations and moments that you can count on from Kate and from The Morning Show.
Yeah, you know, the power of the voice as we listen to those old clips, so amazing. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And you can get the WPR water bottle, the stainless steel water bottle. It's perfect for everyday use or your next outdoor adventure. Use it at home, in the car. You support the programs you value. And with this great water bottle, you can show off your love for all things WPR. You can get it with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
I would say closets and closets full of clothes that I never wore.
I bought a pair of backcountry skis a few years ago that I have never used.
I bought an extremely cheap violin case that was so cheap that I threw it away within 10 minutes of opening it.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Cheryl Gasser. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this winter member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Just a minute or two left to go in the hour. We've heard from an amazing 45 members.
Wow.
Could we hit 50?
I don't know. We can.
I think so. I think our listeners are so amazing and value these programs. It's really where you're putting your money, where your ears are. So please make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jacqueline in Oconto says, my mom is a sustainer and she's been a real inspiration. I'm in a good spot to give back now too. Thank you. No, thank you, Jacqueline. Your gift right now, join Jacqueline in Oconto, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.